Hello and welcome to This Week in Oklahoma Politics. I'm your host, KOSU's Michael Cross, along with ACLU Oklahoma Executive Director Ryan Kiesel and Republican political consultant Neva Hill. Well, the big news out of Oklahoma came Tuesday night when we learned the state had botched the execution of convicted murderer Clayton Lockett. Lockett did die of a heart attack behind closed doors after major complications. Ryan, what were your thoughts when you first got the news?
I think it was a disgrace for our state. We've disgraced ourselves before the nation, before the world. And it was an execution that was done in haste. And it was unnecessarily rushed. It was rushed by political expediency and not by a commitment to the rule of law or justice. There was no need to move forward with untested drugs where we have no idea where they came from. We have no idea whether they were pure or not. And instead we rushed forward and we treated somebody as a human guinea pig, and the result that we got was a scene of horror, and I think certainly doesn't rise to the level of the kind of people that we think we are in Oklahoma and as a nation. I think that it violates constitutional norms. I think the question isn't a matter of guilt, because that's not in dispute. The question is, do we trust our government to kill its citizens, exercise its greatest power to kill its citizens behind closed doors and in secret?
Neva, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, I agree with Ryan. There is a legal process. The process was carried out. Death penalty is an appropriate punishment for those who have committed heinous crimes, such as the one that was in question in this instance. And I think, yes, the state should follow the proper protocols and procedures. And frankly, in this instance, the governor was very swift to say, let's step back, let's put a halt to the second execution, and let's make sure we know what we're dealing with. But all of this continues to be mired more about the issue of people wanting to eliminate the death penalty rather than deal with the issue at hand, which was the carry out of an execution that had been properly gone through the judicial process. So, I think we continue to mix apples and oranges, and unfortunately we get a national very bad story out of it with everyone seizing on the moment.
Ryan, Governor Fallon has called for a review of this execution. What are your thoughts there?
I think it's absurd to think that this review is independent in any way whatsoever. She's tasked the Department of Public Safety to do this. This is an agency that's under her control. And I think that the Attorney General is now weighed in saying he wants to be part of the investigation. Again, anyone, any political actor, any agency that answers to those political actors that had any role in this botched execution cannot be counted on to make a credible assessment of what happened on Tuesday night. What we need is a truly independent examination of what happened. And I think that when we look at whether the death penalty is good or bad, we can argue that. We can argue that it's disproportionately applied by race, that it cost more, that there are suspected to be over 4% of the folks on death row are innocent. All of those things, I think, argue against the death penalty. But in this case, what we're really looking at is transparency. And we didn't know where these drugs came from. We didn't know why they chose the protocol that they did. And they essentially experimented up on an individual. And that could have been avoided.
Wouldn't even when we're talking about transparency, when we're talking about things going on behind closed doors and an independent review, shouldn't there be more Republicans calling for this as well as Democrats?
Well, I think what we see is an instance where we have folks who believe in the death penalty, want to see it carried out. I mean, if we go back, let's look. We started with hangings. We went to electrocution. We went to the lethal gas chamber, the firing squad. Now we're talking about the lethal injection of drugs. If the feeling is that this method, which was frankly moved toward that method in the mid-70s, late-70s, believing that it was a better, more humane, I guess, was the argument method. If that's not going to be the case, and we're going to talk always about this experimentation or being botched because of the combination of drugs, then I think the debate will shift to, do we go to some other form of execution, not eliminating the death penalty, which in Oklahoma, I don't think there's any majority opinion that the death penalty should be taken off the table.
And Neva, I think you raise a good point. I think that it does raise the question of whether there is any humane way whatsoever to deliberately kill someone in the name of the state, and in doing so, make ourselves complicit in the same way that those murderers were to their victims. I don't think any of us look at what these two individuals did, or anyone else that has been convicted and is on death row and is actually guilty of those crimes, what they did is being anything but atrocious and heinous. But when the state puts itself in a position of poisoning these individuals or electrocuting them or drawing and quartering them or firing squad or executing them by a firing squad or whatever.
They're carrying out the will of the people through a due legal process, which has made the determination that they should, in fact, die for the crimes that they were convicted of and committed.
And certainly the debate's going to be going on for a long time. Maybe this will raise more questions on the debate.
I think it will, and it'll be interesting to see how this investigation goes forward and whether it's truly independent or a truly independent organization comes in to work on that.
Governor Fallon is calling out the State House of Representatives by vetoing several bills because she's not getting parts of her agenda passed, including a $160 million bond for capital repairs. Neva, does this show new fractures in the state Republican Party?
I think it shows every branch trying to flex their muscle and see who's going to kind of win that round in the fight. Clearly, the House vetoed. I think the big question now is what happens on the Senate side, and that's kind of an open. I think that's an open question. Do they go and negotiate with the governor and make some sort of a deal and say, okay, here's what we want in the budget negotiations. Here's our ask, or here's our list. And so we've got the normal give and take. It's just, now as we've talked about over time with this, with the Republicans in total control in the legislative process and the governor's office, they're the ones having to learn how to kind of play the back and forth politics. And it's the first veto that we've seen of that's kind of in the mix, and whether or not we see the override happen next week, I think it remains to be seen.
Ryan, is this just election year politics? Is this normal for what we think we would see between the Republicans, who are, again, as Neva said, now in the supermajority?
It seems to be a mismanagement of the governor's legislative relationship and agenda. She's certainly not LBJ in this case. And I looked at this. You've got the governor criticizing the legislature for taking up bills of little or no substance, and then she starts relying on the supremacy clause, saying, well, we don't have the power to regulate the federal government as some of these bills want us to do. And I thought maybe she picked up my notes by accident somewhere. But if these were principles that she were consistently applying to legislation, that might be one thing. But this looks a lot more like political payback.
This is politics. It's the give and take of everyone trying to push their agenda. And really, when we get to the bottom line at the end of this month, there's going to be winners and losers. I mean, clearly, not everyone's going to get what they want out of this out of the package. The governor has things she's going to have to decide whether she wants to continue to fight hard for and have this give and take with the House and the Senate, or does everyone try to come with a good compromise?
I was at the thing where the meeting where, or the press conference where she mentioned this. I got to say, she mentioned that the budget, they really haven't done anything much. And at this time last year, everything was pretty copacetic. They'd pretty much decided on what they were going to do. Is there concern that they now have less than 31 days till the end of the session to get this budget done?
They always hammer it out. It's always at the end. I think Ryan would agree, even in his tenure in the legislature.
It's not the best process, but that's how it
is. It's what happens. It's that fast and furious finish. Who kind of can slide whatever at the end? And what we're talking about are the big ticket items that there's a lot of difference of opinion. The governor has some very big issues. The House has big issues. The Senate, and not everyone, they're not enough dollars, and there's not enough time, and probably not enough votes in the mix to get it all done. So we'll see who finally comes out on top.
I just don't know that it was a smart move on the governor's part with these vetoes. I mean, I think that she's made it more difficult to work with the legislature. She vetoed a bill that had overwhelming bipartisan support. She vetoed a couple of bills by Representative Murphy that Representative Jason Murphy said that the governor's office requested him to carry. So, I mean, it seems kind of weird. Hey, carry this. He gets it through the legislative process, which isn't easy, and she vetoes it.
And let's be frank, there was no surprise to any of those folks, A, that the vetoes were going to happen, or B, what the real give and take was behind the vetoes. So this is just part of the process.
And these bills weren't substantive bills. She signed abortion bills, tax cut bills. So these weren't bills that really had that much juice to them. Do you think
she should have
vetoed something a little bit stronger to make a bigger point?
I think what the rationale behind the governor and her folks was, I don't know. But I think when you look at just the timing, these were the things on the board. These were the things that could be in play. And this was where the process started.
Speaking of fractures in the GOP, the Tea Party seems to be at odds over who to support in the U.S. Senate seat to replace Tom Coburn. The national group brought people like Senator Ted Cruz and former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin to a T.W. Shannon rally. But the state Tea Party groups are saying, hey, not so fast. A letter from group leaders attacked the national support. Let's stay with you, Neva. What's going on here?
Well, normal national versus the local politics. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to think about the Tea Party movement at its core. I mean, these are very independent thinking folks for the most part. To say that it's a movement more than a party, clearly, and they're very much driven at the local level, at the state level. I mean, what happens with the Tea Party in Texas is different than what happens here in Oklahoma, and I think that's what we're seeing when you try to bring the national folks in and you try to impose some idea, whatever it is, for whatever campaign or whatever issue. It doesn't always play well, and you get a very small but very vocal group in these states that get a lot of traction by being able to have their voice heard on this issue.
And what were your thoughts when you saw this letter from the state groups?
Yeah, well, I think that it really plays a role in. I think that it's of greater significance if the likely Democratic nominee, Senator Connie Johnson, can't raise a significant amount of money and make herself a contender in the general election. Because if James Lankford and T.W. Shannon feel like they can go through this Republican primary moving as far to the right as they need to try to shore up that Tea Party base that's certainly going to turn out in the primary and is definitely going to be there if there's going to be a runoff, then what we're going to see is an all-out run to the right. And there's going to be no consequence from the middle come general election time if Senator Johnson isn't able to raise the kind of money that she would need to be a legitimate contender.
And the interesting thing about the quote Tea Party groups, I mean, they really are a mix. I mean, you've got the folks that brand themselves conservative. You've got the libertarian. You've got the populist. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got all kinds of brands falling under this umbrella of being the Tea Party activists. And they're not all, they don't all march to the same drummer, and they have different issues that are important to them, and that's why I think we're seeing that no one candidate's going to be able to dominate and just sweep the course and say that they are not only the preferred candidate, but the candidate that's going to get the most votes out of this particular group of people.
And it can get confusing for the candidates themselves. You've got Sarah Palin, Senator Cruz coming here, and they're attacking James Lankford for doing exactly what Tom Coburn did, which was to say that shutting down the government and creating economic chaos across the globe wasn't the right way to go about governing.
Ted Cruz went out of his way to attack Tom Coburn.
Right. So, and then you've got T.W. Shannon saying that he admires Tom Coburn as a conservative, yet these folks
are
supporting
him. Let's remember, a lot of times these folks that come into different states campaigning for candidates, they're really campaigning for themselves.
Right.
I mean, this is about building their brand. This is about building their name ID as much as it is to help someone ostensibly that they think is the better candidate or someone they want to support.
So you're telling me that they're not really T.W.'s friends?
I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm saying their biggest interest probably is promoting themselves first.
That's why we follow politics. Fantastic. Neva and Ryan's comments do not necessarily reflect the views of the ACLU, KOSU, its staff, or management.